wondering if Gatterus could be serious. But then he noticed dark objects in the blaze of bright lava, hard stepping stones of denser rock that did not melt but made a precarious path across the lake of fire. Was Gatterus testing his courage? What did the man want, and what did his dreams of a demonic dark man portend? Luke swallowed, but his throat was dry as parchment. He stepped to the ledge of the simmering lava. The stones beckoned, but common sense warned him to go back, to return to his shuttle and fly away. He could find other candidates for his Jedi Academy. 3PO and R2 must have uncovered some leads by now, and he himself had another possibility on Bespin. Luke hadn't even tested Gantaris yet. Why should he risk his life for someone who might or might not actually have Jedi potential? Because he had to. Forming a new order of Jedi Knights would be difficult, and if he flinched from the first test of his own powers, how could he consider himself worthy of attempting such a task? Impossible heat swirled around him. Stepping to the edge of the fire, Luke looked at the broken sky above him. Then he set his foot down on the first stepping stone. It supported his weight. Luke looked ahead, fixing his gaze on the opposite side. The gathered people kept watching. Lava bubbled around him, belching noxious gases into the air. He tried to breathe in shallow gasps. He took another step. The other side seemed very far away. Blinking irritated tears from his eyes, he counted the stones ahead of him. 14 more. Luke stepped to the next one. Gantaris appeared on the far side, joining the other refugees of Eol Shah. Luke didn't expect them to cheer him on, but they remained too eerily silent. Another step. Around him the lava gurgled like the belly of a giant beast, a hungry beast. Luke moved to another step, then another. A tendril of euphoria began to rise within him. This wasn't as difficult as he had feared. He would be able to pass this test. With reckless courage and speed, he strode to the halfway point. Then the lava began to bubble and hiss more forcefully, gushing as something stirred below. The volcanic chamber throbbed with a sound that drummed from just below his range of hearing, but enough to vibrate his teeth. He felt his stomach plunge with apprehension. He tensed, waiting to see what horror awaited him. Something lived within the lake of lava. Something moved. Suddenly, a serpent-like creature burst above the surface, hissing like rocket fuel caught on fire. The fireworm had a triangular head and pointed ear tufts. Crystalline scales armored every inch of its body. Its wide eyes were jewels glowing with a fire of their own. Insulated air intakes sucked in the hot atmosphere, filling bladders deep within the creature's core and making it rise to the surface of the lava pool, huge and fierce. The silicon armor plates glittered like mirrors in the firelight. Luke kept his precarious balance on the stepping stone, avoiding sudden death in the molten rock, then leaped to the next rock. As the fireworm rose and coiled above him, he knew he could never outrun the monster. He stopped and found secure footing. Instinctively, he drew his lightsaber, igniting it with a snap hiss. The green glow of his blade fought against the fiery orange of the lava chamber. On the far side of the lava lake, the gathered people of Eol Shah watched in silence, unmoving. The fireworm glared down at Luke with its viper's head. It opened a vast metallic mouth and spewed congealing lava at the wall. Armored intakes continued to suck air, raising coils of the behemoth's body to the surface. Luke held up his lightsaber, but it seemed pitifully small to fight a lava dragon. With an ultrasonic bellow, the fireworm dove beneath the magma again, splashing molten rock into the air. Luke danced from stepping stone to stepping stone, trying to avoid the deadly firefall. Globs of lava set his Jedi cloak on fire, but Luke managed to yank it over his shoulders and toss it into the bubbling pool, where it burst into bright flames. He held his lightsaber in front of him. His eyes widened. He reached out with his Jedi senses, trying to second-guess the creature. His every nerve was tuned, ready to respond, but he saw only the restless surface of the lava. "Where are you?" he whispered. The fireworm's head exploded out of the lava on the other side, rearing up to strike. It plunged down, opening its huge mouth to reveal fangs like stalactites. Luke whirled, bringing up his lightsaber and dancing back to the previous stepping stone. As the fireworm struck, Luke slashed with his humming green blade. But when the lightsaber smashed against the mirrored armor plates, the glowing green edge refracted into 1,000 components, splitting and ricocheting around the chamber. Sparks showered all around him. The energy blade that could supposedly slice through anything broke only one small silicon armor plate. On the other side of the chamber, the people of Eol Shah ducked to escape the flying shards of green power. Splintered rock fell into the magma lake. Luke knew he could not use the lightsaber against the monster again. The fireworm yowled in surprise more than pain, then dove for refuge under the lava. Luke crouched, desperately trying to figure out what he should do next. He turned, ready to run to the other side where the people waited for him. The fireworm would return any minute. He didn't know how much time he would have. Suddenly, the creature launched itself out of the lava, roaring and hissing and making sounds too horrible for Luke to describe. He turned, lightsaber in hand and ready to die in battle. But now the monster had no interest in him at all. Gouts of acrid smoke poured from the chink in the silicon armor, where lava ate its way into the fireworm's body core. The creature writhed and tossed, spewing lava into the air. Molten rock devoured the fireworm's internal organs like acid, killing it from the inside out. Burning within, the fireworm thrashed in agony, spraying lava as flames and foul smoke boiled out of the tiny breach in its armor. When the fiery rock burned through to the fireworm's inflated air bladders, the creature exploded. Splatters of hardening lava rained down. Luke managed to deflect most of the burning chunks with the force, but some scorched his back and shoulder. The fireworm's death throes churned waves in the molten rock, then gradually subsided. Luke raised his eyes, blinking in disbelief. The people of Eol Shah still waited for him. Most of the stepping stones had been washed away in the turmoil. Nothing but impassable lava remained between him and Ganteris. He could not finish his journey. Giddy with terror and a backwash of possibilities from the Force, Luke stared at the impassable river of flames between him and his goal. He thought of the potential for his proposed academy for the return of the Jedi Knights. The New Republic needed him. He had to complete his promise. He would gather candidates to teach the ways of the Force. He would. Without a doubt in his mind, still throbbing with the Force after his battle against the fireworm, he closed his eyes. Luke walked across the Lake of Fire. He did not think about it. The lava refused to touch his feet. Only the Force burned right around him. One step after another, he strode across the flaming rock, letting himself see nothing but his goal, until he stood again on the solid ground on the far side of the Lake of Fire, with Ganteris and his people. When he reached safety, he nearly collapsed with relief, but he could not allow himself to show a change of expression. He tried not to think about what he had just done. Ganteris stood before him, an expression of awe on his broad face. The others backed away, but Ganteris remained motionless. He swallowed as he met Luke's gaze. "I will abide by my promise." He drew a deep breath. "Teach me how to use this mysterious power within me." Without a thought, Luke reached forward with trembling hands and touched Ganteris's head. He sent mental fingers inward, probing to the back of the other man's mind, searching until he found the mysterious nub in Ganteris's subconscious, and pushed. The strength of his reflexive action knocked Luke backward so that he had to catch his balance before tumbling into the lava. Ganteris did indeed have the Jedi potential, enough to make him a formidable candidate for the Jedi Academy. Luke allowed himself a sigh of relief. The terror and the testing had been worth it. He took Ganteris's hand, then looked at the gathered survivors of the abandoned colony. "We will find a new home for your people. But first, you will come with me to Coruscant." 9. Lando Calrissian's ship, the Lady Luck, received clearance from a bored-sounding traffic controller to land in the spaceport of Umgal. As the ship coasted through the misty atmosphere, Lando was amazed at the number of private ships, space yachts, and luxurious ground skimmers bustling around the landing center. Lando cruised with the other traffic over flatlands surrounding a broad river on his way to Umgal City. Fleets of sail barges drifted over the sluggish river. Looking down, he could see flashing lights and gyrating bodies that spoke of wild parties on the barge decks. A moist planet, but cool, Umgal was frequently blanketed by dense fog and low-hanging clouds. Even now, in the middle of the day, wisps of mist drifted up from the river and spread across the lowlands. Though unremarkable in resources and strategic importance, Umgal had earned galactic fame as a sports center, home of the renowned Umgullian blob races. The Lady Luck followed her designated vector to a spaceport carved into limestone bluffs rising above the river. Accompanied on either side by tiny two-person pleasure skimmers, Lando brought his ship through the cavern mouth. He barely managed to avoid hitting a blue zeppelin full of tourists. Inside, hairy attendants wearing bright orange vests directed the Lady Luck into her parking stall by waving handheld laser beacons. Lando turned to the two droids next to him in the pilot's compartment. "Are you boys about ready to have fun?" R2 beeped something Lando could not understand, but 3PO straightened in indignation. "We are not here to have fun, General Calrissian. We are here to assist Master Luke." "I'm here as a private citizen going to the blob races." Lando jabbed a finger at him. Being in close quarters with 3PO for only a day had already been enough for the prissy droid to get on his nerves. "You are my protocol droid, and you'd better play the part, or I'll have you run a complete diagnostic of all the sewage control systems on Umgal City."
"I understand clearly, sir."
As the Lady Lux ramp tongued out, Lando stepped into the chaos of the Umgullian reception center. Voices blurred by background noise made perpetual announcements over the intercom systems. Roars from departing vehicles echoed in the grotto. Acrid smells of exhaust fumes and engine fueling ports stung Lando's nostrils. Nonetheless, he held his head high and strode down the ramp, swirling his cape and beckoning the two droids to follow. "3PO, can you understand any of those announcements? Figure out where we're supposed to go." 3PO scanned the data walls that listed services offered by Umgal City. Text scrolled out in several languages. Four stubby vendors rushed over to the new visitor, pushing trinkets and souvenirs at Lando. The scruffy-looking hucksters were Ugnaughts, the ugly little maintenance creatures that filled the lower levels of Cloud City.
"Why not bring a baby blob home for the kids, sir?"
The Ugnaught thrust out a greenish, oozing mass that looked like a fist-sized wad of phlegm.
"How about some blob candy, sir? Best in the city. My secondary mate makes it at home."
The gelatinous blob candy looked identical to the baby blob the first Ugnaught had offered.
"Good luck, charm," said a third Ugnaught. "Works for all religions."
Lando waved them away. "3PO, where are we going?"
"Adjusting for local time, sir, I believe there is an important blob race beginning in less than one standard hour. The Umgullian mass transit systems will take us directly to the blob arena. I believe the mass transit access is..."
The four Ugnaught souvenir vendors began falling over each other, offering to guide the fine gentleman to the arena.
"Immediately to our left."
3PO gestured to a brightly painted tunnel entrance. "Come on," Lando said, and without looking back, walked over to the mass transit entrance. The disappointed Ugnaughts hurried off to hunt for other customers. The mass transit trip was like a roller coaster ride without wheels. A slim tube-like car shot through the tunnel up to the top of the bluff, splashing through high-rising fog and rushing over woodlands where trees crammed into notches in the weathered limestone. The ground was a crazy quilt of bright signs describing tourist attractions, eating establishments, pawn shops, and high-interest, no-questions-asked gambling loans. At the great entry kiosks to the Blob Arena, streams of people and other creatures pushed in, paying their credits and obtaining seat assignments. Lando paid for himself, but argued with the ticket-taking computer over whether his two droids were companions, and thus needed to buy tickets, or subservient information processing attendants. Lando won the argument, though 3PO seemed insulted at being classed as little more than an appliance. The Blob Racing Stadium was a vast sinkhole that had collapsed into the top of the bluff, a circular pit in the rocky ground. The Umgullian Stadium management had carved thousands of seats, stalls, pits, and sockets out of the sloping rocky walls to accommodate all manner of bodily configurations. Giant whirring fans had been mounted around the rim of the sinkhole, generating a hefty breeze to shove back the encroaching fog that pushed in from all sides, driving it into the open air where it dissipated. After pushing his way along the crowded halls, Lando found his seat, pleased to see that it had a good view of the entire blobstacle course below. The odds panel in front of his seat listed information about the 14 blob challengers for the day's first heat and also counted down the 20 minutes remaining before the next race would begin. A grin spread across Lando's face as he took in the smells of treats and condiments, saw whirring robotic drink dispensers drifting through the stands. He was enjoying this already. It brought back plenty of old memories. As Baron Administrator of Bespin's Cloud City, Lando had spent much of his time in the high-class casinos, watching the tourists and high rollers. He had never seen blob racing before, but the excitement in the air made his heart beat faster. 3PO fidgeted, looking at the crowd. A white ursine creature nearly knocked him over as it pushed its way to a seat farther down the mezzanine. Lando couldn't forget the primary reason why he was here, though.
Mounted to R2's body core was the power pack of the Imperial Jedi detecting device, and Lando kept the sheet crystal detector paddle secured to his own side.
Okay, R2, let's see if we can find our friend Timo.
Jack into the stadium computer and see if he's bought a ticket or placed a bet. If so, let's find out where he's seated.
The announcer's voice echoed around the arena. Sentient beings of all genders, welcome to the galaxy-renowned blob races of Umgol. Before we begin this afternoon's first heat, we'd like to call your attention to next week's special gala blob derby to be hosted in honor of a visiting dignitary, the Duchess Mistel from our sister planet Dargol. We hope you'll all attend.
The apathetic reaction from the crowd told Lando just how many visiting dignitaries Umgol must host throughout the year.
For this afternoon's event, we'll be running 14 thoroughbred racing blobs through a 12-point blobstacle course that has been thoroughly inspected and certified by the Galactic Racing Commission. All data on the age, mass, and viscosity of our racing blobs is available at the terminal in front of your seat.
Lando smiled grimly at that. Umgol City claimed to run clean blob races, and cheating was a capital offense.
What does he mean by thoroughbred racing blobs? He asked.
3PO heard him.
This species of blob has several variants that are used for different purposes throughout the system. Some upper-class people actually keep them as pets. Others have seen certain medicinal value in blob treatment, such as letting a blob ooze across one's back for massage therapy or soaking one's aching feet in the warm gelatinous mass.
But these are racers?
Yes, sir, bred for speed and fluidity.
The announcer finished reading several standard disclaimers.
At this point, we officially declare all betting substations to be closed. The odds computer will post final probability tables, which are now available at your terminals. We shall begin the race in just a moment. Please enjoy a refreshment compatible with your biochemistry while you wait.
Hearing a ratcheting sound, Lando directed his attention to the rear of the playing field. Conveyor mechanisms raised the blob platforms to a high ramp, stopping in front of a gate that held the oozing blobs back from the launching slide. The 14 separate chutes in the steep, lubricated ramp were designed to boost a blob's momentum at the starting signal.